Good evening, everyone. This is Wednesday night. It's The Joy of Sacrifice by E.J. Gold, and tonight we're going to look into the sacrifice of relationships that happens to be sacrifice number 7. If you're following along in your hymnals, that happens to be on page 195. And Ivan, who is the who's pictured there in sac?
You know, this is one of the ones I didn't know, and I don't know if it was on the list of who was it, Daniel or
Robert,
somebody
Finhawk
in our network was had posted the list of names. So maybe that person could speak up if we know who this one is.
So. Is the mic sound low?
Yeah.
The mic sound low?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is here. Pure Goliath.
Yeah.
It does look like one of
I think it's
those are
his,
two.
It's his
I think
father.
There's Hazrat and Nayat Khan.
I think this is Hazrat.
And Pure Goliath is his son.
Is his son. This is, I think this is Hazrat.
Another generation.
Yeah. I believe it is. But we don't know. But
you know who would know this is
the knower of all things.
The knower, yeah.
We are the
one. Friend out there in New York, the Sufi community.
Who does?
Yeah.
Pure Goliath. Okay. Now this was a stumper. I don't know if anybody. When I last checked, no one had actually put a comment up by then about unraveling this difficult sacrifice. Did you see any comments up?
I didn't see any posts. And I hesitated to post myself. And I thought everybody might be waiting for the most arrogant person of all to post first.
Oh, well, I'll leave now and go post.
I don't know.
I'm going to go post something rapidly so I can be first, as I should be.
Indeed.
That's the kind of comment. So, what an exercise this is. Let me read a few paragraphs of it. And page 196 will start off. To make this sacrifice, one does everything as if one already knows everything and has nothing to learn. Many are already making this difficult sacrifice, but a little too soon. There might be a little seasoning of sarcasm there, Ivan.
That's a joke, obviously.
The last sentence is a joke.
Yes.
So, here we go. One gives unwanted and unasked for advice to others continually. That reminds me, Ivan.
Don't you think you should continue reading, David?
No, I had something I wanted to comment on.
All right.
I had some advice
for you.
Have
it your way.
Okay. Continually ridicules and doubts everyone and everything, even while protesting innocence. One always and in everything takes a superior attitude. I like that. One behaves as the keeper of integrity for all of the others. Taking no real part in the action, one observes the others who keep the rituals and then later critiques them for right and wrong actions. At this stage, one is first in all things. One may take as large and special portions as one wishes during meals, and one may always have one play over the will of another student during a confrontation. Let's stop there. So, let me ask you for a moment, anybody, and Ivan, since you're here, I'll ask you. That's the exercise. Okay? That exercise, and I want to ask you what it would be like to actually perform that exercise. This exercise of the life of arrogance. You are right, not just maybe some of the time, but you're right all the time. You're the one that is the last word in conversations. And not only that, you're the last one, you're the one that has the truth. You tell the truth. You tell people what to do. You tell them why they're doing it from soup to nuts. So let's say tomorrow morning you go, what do you have on your schedule for tomorrow morning? You go teach?
I'll be at the office tomorrow morning.
So,
and I have something to do about midday.
So let's say you went to this event at midday.
Yeah.
And you started practicing this particular exercise. Put yourself in that position, and you're going to practice this exercise of utter, unmitigated arrogance.
Right. Getting it pretty far.
So let's say that...
in my ordinary association.
You go to work, you go to your regular job, and you're determined to actually perform this exercise. Let's say you don't work, and you're just going to go out for a breakfast or something. And you're just going to perform this with great attention and diligence.
Right. Then what?
Well, could you keep that up for a day or two? What would happen if you did this? Someone said this is not his typicality, that's not the point. The point is you go out and you do the exercise.
Well, doing it like the way you're talking about reminds me of something that was big in the 60s or 70s called psychodrama. I mean, if you go and visit your experiment like that on unsuspecting people, you know, you're creating, what is it called? It's like reality TV. I mean, you know, you're involving people in a candid camera situation where they're not prepared for it. I mean, I thought you made a good suggestion in discussing this chapter on the website, which is to say, how about getting agreement from the people that you're around or your office or that you're working with to do this experiment.
So tomorrow morning, I'm going to go to a client.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend all day at the client. I'm going to sit down and drive down there in Sacramento. They're going to pay me for coming to see them.
Right.
And let's say that I go down there, begin, and I just start telling, like, the business owner what to do, the chief accountant what to do, the operations office. I just start telling them what to do, and I point out all of the mistakes they've been making. What would the effect be?
Sorry, David?
Yes. Simon.
Greetings. Hi, Ivan and David. Sorry, I was going to... I'm listening to you. I couldn't make from the script and the web page of the exercise. So that's what it is. I didn't understand well what the exercise was, but that is exactly what you're saying. As you just said it, right?
Yeah. If you read the chapter, you read the fact that you're going to perform the role of utter arrogance for that to sacrifice. You start to perform arrogance, you tell everybody what to do. The waiter or waitress comes to the table when you go to lunch and they start to go to the first person, you go, no, wait on me first. I want this.
Yes.
I've done this right. And then when the food comes, you complain about it.
Yeah.
What would the effect be? What would occur?
Well, yeah, what we are trying to do here, I guess, as I read the exercise, is trying to be as jerk as you can be.
Well, it didn't say be a jerk. It says specifically to be arrogant. Because there are many...
Well, it implies that. From the other side.
Right.
Double your what?
I
should double my fee.
Double his fee for being so knowledgeable. Oh, it's
part
of the arrogance.
Part of the arrogance exercise. I should double my fee. So, do you think that I would last through the first coffee break, for instance?
People may not know your business very well, but I think that it would be a wonderful thing. Because it would be the sacrifice of the relationship.
I'd be fired.
You would be losing those relationships.
People wouldn't put up with it. So now what I said on the website was, I said, or I might have implied in the email, I can't remember now, but let's say that you did, that's why I was wondering if there was anybody from the Riverside house there. But, or in, you know, where Eric lives, Eric's not going to be here tonight. But let's say that somebody, I'm thinking of, like, Young Flower lives at that place. She's there? Okay. Here's my question to Young Flower. What if you got agreement from everybody in the house, but, and with unremitting integrity, you carried this exercise out all day long tomorrow? Not when you go to school or you go to your job, just when you're in the house interacting with your housemate. First of all, can you put yourself in that psychological position to do it? That's one. Where you really believe it, not just that you're trying to play a funny role and everybody gets to laugh at you, but actually put yourself in a position where you are exercising this role of arrogance. So there's two parts. Can you actually put yourself in the position? And then if you did, what would you notice and what would occur? Now, the answer will be surprising. Will surprise you.
What, do you think we should speculate about this, or there's
no way
to do it?
Well, I challenge you to do it, but we can speculate if you so choose. But just visualize, not the role that you're playing a role on stage, but you're actually going to do it. And let's say in a case in a group house, you've been given permission to do so. Go ahead.
David, it's Susan here.
Hey, Susan.
It seems to me like if you were that arrogant, you would cut yourself off from any new opportunities to learn anything.
What would you have to learn? You already know everything.
Okay, that's a huge hint that you just got from Susan. A huge hint. Just follow it down. You have to actually allow yourself to figuratively put yourself in a position where you are in that, you are performing that arrogance. You're actually doing it. And what would it actually feel like when you're doing it? First of all, what would it feel like when you're doing it? I would say that the first X number of minutes, you'd probably have fun with it and you'd go, it'd be like a play acting role. It'd be, it'd be kind of a fun caricature to put on. Then what would happen? How would you feel doing that? How would you feel that doing that?
Well, it would generate it would be very uncomfortable to do that. At least for me, will feel very uncomfortable.
Why?
Well, because I am imposing something that I naturally don't do. So it will be against my habit of not being, I mean, humbly saying, not exercise that arrogance.
Okay.
Usually
so,
I don't do that. If I am awake, usually I don't do that.
Follow up on your phrase, imposing something, upon whom would you be imposing?
Well, it may be somebody on the street, an unknown person, or maybe somebody at work.
I was one of the things that I've enjoyed so much over the years is actually selling, and I love selling. I love the act of selling, and I did pretty well. I did pretty well selling. I sold ancient jewelry for a while, and you can see some of the stuff. I don't know if the website's still going, the Jewels of Ancient Lands. And it was just a delight. It folded in well with my love of ancient history as well. And I'd sell these necklaces. And I was always trying to figure out different ways to experiment with the customer, right? And because the customer would come into the booth or the booth area, and I'd present this remarkable jewelry to them. And I'd start talking about this story and whatnot. So I had, in back of my mind, I had this thought once, what would it be, or how effective would it be if I said to the customer, these pieces are more expensive, probably too expensive for you. So I just, and so...
At the outset? Like as a pitch? To open the pitch?
Well, I'd let them start looking at the... I would say nothing. I'd let them look at the pieces, and then I'd...
yeah.
And then I would start with this. They're very expensive. They may be too expensive for you.
This probably isn't for you, right?
This isn't for you. So
I
debated this for a long, long time. And so this one show came up. It was in Denver. And so I'm pitching my wares. I'd made about $1,000 in sales. It was a pretty good day. And these two matrons came up, and they were dressed in very, what I would call very standard middle class dress of a suburban housewife, probably in their 50s at the time. And so they came with some personal authority to the booth, you know, like they knew what they were doing. And so I thought I would try it.
Right. So?
I did try it.
Yes.
It exploded in my face.
What happened when you told them there were two?
They just glared at me.
Uh-huh.
I held my ground. They just glared at me like I've never seen before. And then they said, well, and then they stomped off.
Uh-huh.
I concluded from that.
That they probably didn't have enough money to buy them. See, if you said that to somebody who had plenty of money, they would probably out-arrogant you. You know,
well, that's always there. But these two, they it didn't work. And so I realized at that time that such an exercise of attempting to hold that posture for more than just a moment would be very difficult. So, picture yourself.
Right.
Doing the exercise, here you are doing this exercise, you're the boss of everything, you're in charge of everything, you're the smartest, you especially can tell people what to do, because you know what to do, and you can tell people what they did wrong.
All the time.
All the time.
You need to tell them what they did.
Now, there's an interesting phrase in the chapter, if we read it carefully. There's two very interesting phrases. At the very end, Okay, now, the very last paragraph. One is now treated as, one is now treated by others, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an honored guest. Is that Elisha? Elisha? Yeah. I'll say that in a minute. And is shown deep respect and humility by the others. One is always right in every matter, and another may not point out errors about one, even by inflection, tone, gesture, expression. So the others in this experiment with young flower join in.
Right. Well, that's what that's where I thought you were starting out. Simon or somebody was saying, you know, I think there's a big difference in your experiment going out to a client appointment that you have.
What's your job?
Yeah, to your whatever. Well, whatever profession you have, whatever your job is, it could be construction or driving a taxi, you know. But to go out to your job and then decide that you're going to spend a day or a week or however long it takes or whatever being this arrogant person, that, you know, that's not going to fly very well, because it's just, I don't think in reading the chapter that it's intending to put you in a confrontive situation. It's quite the opposite. But
it's the opposite. And what
Susan is saying, you're going to cut yourself off from learning. You're going to cut yourself off from other people.
Ah.
But they're the other people who that have this agreement with you to give you a special status. You see, but I mean, it seems to me it's an exercise that you cannot do with strangers.
Very explicitly here. You cannot do this with strangers. If you do this with strangers, you are harming them, which somebody started to imply.
Okay.
You are bringing and imposing on others something that they did not ask to be part of. That's
right.
Not what we do here. If you try to do this at work, at whatever you, if you don't have a job, you will be fired. Do not attempt it in that manner. That's why I said, you know, I'm giving you examples in life, in a sense, to be burned. Do not try it in that manner. You have to try it if you happen to live in a group situation. Then maybe you can try it with the agreement of others.
Right.
And if you try that, nevertheless, if you try it, there will be startling results.
What would be the agreement, what would mean to be the agreement of others, David?
The others, you start your day off by saying, this takes, you actually have to sit down and discuss it and get in collaborative communication with those others that are part of it. And you say to them, I am going to do this sacrifice of relationships exercise. I would like your agreement that I am going to do that tomorrow. And then you attempt to do that for a 24-hour period, let's say. This will have startling results for you in many, many ways.
And very good. And now there is a nuance here that I would like to ask you. You have to play that role very sincerely and seriously, right? Because the other may read, suppose that you don't get the agreement and you do practice the exercise. They may read something on you that is maybe different, that is quite different in your behavior. I mean, you don't have to give them a hint that it's not serious, right? You have to really play it seriously.
So this is
in order to create the fiction, because otherwise they're going to think that you're joking.
That's what I'm saying. This is not a joke. That's why you get into agreement with those your fellow workers here.
Yeah, but Simon, I'm not sure if you're speaking to this point that David's making, is that you're doing it by you're letting people know ahead of time that you're going to have this status, or that you're going to behave this way.
Yeah, that is clear. That is clear what David said. I got that. But it may be, I mean, if that is a condition sine qua non, I mean, if that is a prerequisite to do it, that's cool. So we go for that. But it may be that I do the exercise without letting them know what I'm going to do. I just perform or I go along with the exercise without telling them.
Hey,
now,
Simon?
Yes?
Can you please read some of the expressions on the line, please?
Got it.
Are there comments that should be read?
Yeah. Squabble 93, there would be a tension and a hit in holding that posture against my desire to avoid the tension and avoid the ridicule.
Okay, very good. Next.
Lost Horizon, honored guest. I guess it would be to do it with a honored guest, therefore not a member of the community, not a friend or a familiar presence.
Okay.
Lost Horizon.
That's Lost Horizon.
This Lost Horizon again, this seems to intend to break the attachment of relationships, not relationships themselves ultimately, but the attachment to them.
What attachment? What attachment, Lost Horizon? What attachment are you talking about here?
And he continues, on the part of those on both sides of the interaction.
Okay.
Seahawk continues here, if the others agree to it, it's not real. No real sacrifice is made of relations.
Ah.
That's the point.
I disagree with you, Sinhog, because I think to do this, even with the agreement of another, something startling will occur.
That's what I think I see where David's going with it.
Good. We have to pull Spinoza out at this point.
Maybe you should pull Spinoza out. But you also, you know what you're just pulling on now is this, you know, there are these famous series of social science experiments where they do, the whole idea is that they create a simulation. They tell people, we're going to have a simulation, and you half people are going to be guards, and you other half are going to be the prisoners. And this is a game. They're the guards, and you're the prisoners. So let's interact like this for whatever it is, X number of hours. And, you know, what do you think happened in that experiment?
It startling would occur. It is startling.
This is, you know, you may have seen dramatizations on TV that make this very melodramatic, but in reality, in social science experiments, they had to stop what they were doing because the people who assumed simulated positions of being prison guards, it tended to evoke brutal and even violent and aggressive behavior from them. And the people who were, coached, let's say, you know, or convinced. Actually, they were being paid. Everybody's being paid, right? You're experimental subjects, so we're going to pay you if you carry out this experiment. So the people who were being paid to be prisoners assumed a victim persona, and they wouldn't even stop. They didn't appeal to anybody, like the scientists or anybody who was observing with a clipboard, writing down notes. They wouldn't stop the experiment. They wouldn't appeal and say, oh, this is getting too violent or too aggressive. I don't want to be abused like this as a prisoner. I'm willing to be a prisoner, but not be abused. They had to literally come from outside and stop people.
They had a chain of what I call emotion, a logic of their emotions that allowed them to go to one level, another level of this form of violence.
Well, it
doesn't have to be. I'm not saying to do it in a situation that engenders violence like that. I'm saying to do it in a regular household situation.
Right.
So that it is not the fundamentals of it.
Well, what I'm talking about is just that, yeah, again, that's an extreme demonstration of something, but I think what it demonstrates is falling into identification with a false persona, with it, you know, you... I think it's one of the things that EJ talks about with Diablo, with doing virtual reality gaming, right? It's like, what is the relationship between you and that avatar? That avatar can die over and over again, but you are immortal compared to that avatar.
But if you get identified to be with the avatar,
like, how painful is it for you to die there?
So Simon, thank you, Sinhog, and Koi also. These are great comments. What other comments can you please read some more?
Dost says, maybe you shouldn't tell them what you're doing, but just apologize in advance for any behavior I will be showing over the next few days.
Okay.
And then be yourself a total, you know, jerk, I guess. Bad word. Well, it's not written, it's just asterisks. I assume that's what it means.
Okay, anything else?
See, when you Lost Horizons, ways of relating that one has grown comfortable with. The Stanford Prison Experiment was done badly because there was nobody left out of it to remember that it was an experiment. The instructor played the part of warden.
Thank you. Now, what did Lost Horizon tell us again? Something about a relationship.
Attachment.
And then I asked the question, what attachment? What attachment is it you're breaking? This is where we have to take a side note and go to Spinoza. Book 4 on human freedom of the ethics. And there he starts, at the end of book 4, he starts talking about relationship. And he says that relationship is not the highest, but the second highest form of work. And in that case, he says, but most relationships are based on a form of bargaining, where we bargain between one another. We don't have free relationships. We bargain based upon mutual agreements as to behavior. I won't tell you about that characteristic if you don't tell me about this characteristic. And it's a form of social survival that we do such things. This exercise, if you can possibly do it, will shatter that. Even if you ask for agreement one to another, after a few hours of attempting to do it, you will start to feel something. You have to remember what Susan said too.
The person who's making this sacrifice is isolating herself or himself.
Very, very, very important. Susan, are you still there? Susan, are you there? You cut yourself off. Okay. Think of doing that for a full day, where your housemate or your partner or whoever you're doing this with, you continue.
Yes, I'm here.
Susan, do you recall what you said? When someone's doing this exercise, what happens to them?
Well, they would be cutting themselves off from learning anything new. But it also struck me that if you were this arrogant, you would isolate yourself completely.
Completely.
And be alone.
You'd start to suffer aloneness like crazy. You'd want to depart from this exercise as rapidly as possible. What I'm saying, the first hour or two might be quote-unquote fun. But if you hold yourself in that posture for very long, something will occur. There's actually something will occur within you it will free you as well. It will free you from a certain dependency on that stupid attachment and bargaining that Lost Horizon is pointing to. It will free you from that. But as you continue to do that relationship, this exercise, it will become patently aware. You will be aware of the fact of how alone you are from the others. You're desperate. You will be desperately removed from the others in your collaborative group. And we know some people, in a sense, that practice this, that are arrogant in this way, but they're asleep. They're doing it in total sleep. And you can almost feel their loneliness. You can almost feel it. If your sensing mechanism is up. This is a very difficult exercise. It's a very, very hard sacrifice.
Well, that brings to mind something else, though, David, the suggestion. I mean, this footnote at the beginning, you know, this sort of sideways remark in the first paragraph that you read, many are already making this difficult sacrifice a little too soon. You know, it's just suggestive because this text, I mean, EJ is writing here. He's not saying to be an arrogant person. He's not saying to become arrogant because you've reached a certain point in your own spiritual development. He's saying to simulate this, to impersonate this person. You know, and then he's deliberately, you know, making this reference to those that somebody who's doing this unconsciously is being unconscious.
It's fundamentally unconscious.
It's being identified.
They're doing it too soon,
which is, again, there's this great, you know, this really good piece of work that from the home community, Ariana Kaplan, researched and put together a book called Halfway Up the Mountain, which is about this sentence right there is the subject of an entire book that she wrote. And Halfway Up the Mountain means, what is the subtitle? The subtitle is something like the manifestations of those who believe that they are prematurely enlightened.
Yeah,
it's about a whole series of narratives and histories of people who set themselves up as spiritual teachers and then create various kinds of disasters, you know, anything. Things ranging from disasters and tragedies to just sort of goofups and failures.
That's why doing this exercise, even if you do it with the willingness of your housemate, it's very tough to do. Because once you come across, sure, you know, you come across, certainly you can play the role as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play it for a while. But after a while, it's very hard to maintain that position. And you start to come up against very rapidly your own bargain that you're not willing to give up. But if you persist with this exercise, it's like a cleansing of those. There's a clarity that occurs at that point, a clarity that you come to and you start to see just the remarkable value of true collaborative free relationships, not based upon the bargains that Spinoza is pointing to, the mutuality of ego. Simon, any more comments to read?
Pianjo brings this comment. I still believe that EJ wants us to do this consciously. I repeat. I still believe that EJ wants us to do this consciously, so we can guard against doing it so mechanically.
Yes.
I think that may be a reason for that statement at the outset of the chapter.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Very nice.
Audia says, I found this sacrifice so big, so hard, and so difficult. I have had such a hard time with this concept. I could not comment before. This discussion is very helpful and enlightening, and I am in awe of everyone who can do this.
And Aria, then do it in smaller bites.
Yeah,
do it in a smaller bite. Do it for an hour, or do it over a meal. Do it something like that. The key here is not the external, everybody. We're looking at the internal, aren't we? Isn't this what we're looking for, is self-observations and tools for great self-observation?
Yes.
Observe what goes on in you when you attempt to hold that posture of arrogance. Of course that's not your signature of who you are. But Aria,
right.
I know that for you, very difficult to do this exercise, but then do it in a smaller bite-sized, maybe like just for a meal. But do it well, and see what happens. It may take you 2 or 3 days to unravel what actually occurs when you in fact do it.
David, a question.
Sure.
And once you finish that exercise, you got the whole deal. You know what's going on. How about the people? You never explain them anything. You just suppose that they got really, really mad at you. I mean, they say, I mean,
just,
is that the point that we take the risk of destroying a relationship, maybe?
I don't think so. This is a point, again, I think this is a point that's highly worthy of discussion. And I'd like to say first to Aria that my feeling in reading this chapter, I feel the same way, which is I don't want to do this exercise. That's it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to attempt this sacrifice. And one of the ways that I feel about it, I'm not sure that I'm intrepid enough or that I'm at a point where I want to do this sacrifice. You know what I mean? This is a serious exercise. This is a serious sacrifice.
Very difficult.
And now, going to this next question, I really like where David is going with this, because what it makes me think about with this is in relation to, and I think I have the same question that Simon has, is like, who gets what, you see, out of doing this exercise? Well, guess what? I think that this is a situation where the team of people, you know, whoever your compadres are, you know, whoever you're working with, you know, they are offering you the service so that you can do this sacrifice. The person who is going to experience the crumbling of attachment, like the bashing of ego, you see the total, a terrific abnormality in inner state, is not going to be those other people. What you're going to evoke from people is annoyance and irritation and frustration. You know, even if they remember, oh, we're just doing this for an hour or a day or whatever, believe it. You know, but the person who's isolated, the person who's bringing this negativity on herself or on himself, that's the person who's going to get the benefit of this exercise. So it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from the people who are collaborating.
The group gives that gift to the proponent of this exercise.
Yeah, and it can't be done. I don't think it's something that you can foist unconsciously on anybody.
I agree. It's too expensive to do. It's too expensive to do.
Yeah.
You're fortunate to have at least one other that agrees to do it. The other, now let's just take the side of the recipient of your unabashed arrogance. The recipient, I suggest as an antidote, quickly go and pick up a copy of Practical Work on Self and thumb through Chapter 2, the Pond Exercise.
The Reverberation.
And the Parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
George, I have a question for you. I mean, Silverdale, I'm sorry. Silverdale, there's one of the exercises, or maybe it's an HBM, where there's a, where the natural response is the evolution. Does anybody remember what I'm trying to get to?
Where the natural,
there's an evolutionary response from the human biological machine, is that where we do, if you put yourself in this position long enough, you will, the natural response will be to evolve to the next level in the idea of relationship. You will never, ever be able to hold on, as Lost Horizon is telling us, to the attachment, the kind of attachment you had before. Because then, and only then, the relationship will be one of an essential nature. And you will only see the Buddha and the other before you. And you will sense, wait a minute, that's an essential self that I'm dealing with here. I'm not dealing with an object of my desires and wishes and ego. I'm interacting here with an essential self. And where else does the essential self arise from? But from the very heart of the maker, the creator of all things. And suddenly you begin to see the very small taste of true relationship. But it is an expensive, this is an expensive trip here. This is not an easy exercise or sacrifice to do.
David, just one comment, and I think it will be very important to clear if you can, you both answer this. So suppose that we go ahead with the exercise. Whatever happens after that with the relationship is of our no concern.
No.
It may happen anything.
No.
It's not of our concern.
No, that's not my answer to this. I would not do this exercise unless I had an agreement from my partner or partners in doing
it. So that's very important then.
It's very important. So to repeat, this is something that you enter into not as a subtle exercise of your own personal arrogance. That's out the door. That's not what we're talking about. This is an experiment to do in knowing relationships to somebody who's a potential partner or worker with you, or a group of workers. And you say, today I'm going to do this exercise. I'm always right. Everything I say is correct. My criticism of you is right. I will win all arguments. I get the first. I want to point out that I was the cause of this. I, in fact, am the one that made this house possible. It is me that did it, and me alone that did it. And if you can hang in that space for a couple of hours, something in you will break down. The others will be challenged with the idea of attempting to not be reactive. Mm-hmm. Even if you say, this is the exercise, they will start thinking in their secret mind, she was always like that. This is who she really is. And it's just...
That sounds dangerous.
And that's... I knew it all along.
Uh-oh.
Good pointers, David. Good pointers. Okay. Thank you. That's cool.
And you know, Dave, I'd like to just reiterate my own understanding is this is this book, The Joyous Sacrifice. If we go back to Human Biological Machine, we're informed there that there is a dominant electrical field, our historical personality, and our essence, our essential self, is submerged within that. So as we're looking for strategies to strengthen our essential self and allow it to awaken the machine, we begin to discover that the essential self has no qualities and no characteristics and never will. It will always be in a state of objectivity, impartiality, and criticalness,
right.
Frankly. It's seeing exactly what's out there. And for that reason, we begin to sacrifice, we learn to sacrifice dominant characteristics of our historical personality, sacrifice of habits, sacrifice of tendencies, sacrifice of control, And in sacrificing relationships, it's not to strengthen the essential self's ability not to be identified with the illusory nature of the dream. And
go back to sacrifice number three, and this is called the sacrifice of habits, and I read there, as the essence develops, it eats the psyche little by little, just as the yolk of an egg depends upon the albumen. Now, and so what we're doing here, if we put ourselves in the kind of position, this is a position that the historical personality dreads, does not want to be in a position, because it can no longer automatically operate. As soon as it is there, and actually there, it is without standing, to use a legal term. It has no standing. It has no orientation. If we do this kind of an exercise, everything we've learned about how to relate to others is out the window. And what's left? There's only one thing left. And that's the essential self now.
Which is the only authentic part of ourself.
It's the only infinite and the essential part. It's the essential part of us. It's the true reality of who we are. And only by doing something like this do we begin to glimpse it. And we do an exercise like this, and what are we sacrificing? What we're sacrificing is our habits of attachment.
Of dependency.
We're not sacrificing true relationships. We don't know what that is. We're learning that. And that's why, thankfully, hopefully we can work with a fellow worker to do this. But this is not a pretend. This is not a mental exercise. This is putting yourself in that fire. Because that's the only way that the historical personality, the machine, will be effective. Because if you do it mentally, the historical personality will hijack the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It will hijack it.
Well, that's where you need collaborators.
And you know, Dave, I have a feeling that if the essential self has become the dominant electrical force within our own trinity, that is, it is centered enough to understand itself as an infinite, expansive being, then it is no longer intimidated by offending relationships, and it probably wouldn't do it indiscriminately, but it would probably do it just to test the historical personality's true passivity.
From time to time, it would feel the need, the essential self, as the guide now.
Yep.
Now we're standing in this totally new position. It would test the historical personality from time to time. It would test the taboos that it has set up.
Yep.
That the historical personality has set up, and it would say, oh, yeah, how about this? And you can do that. We have done that, and I've done it. I tell you, I've bitten of the fruit from the forbidden tree from time to time. How do you like that one, George?
Yeah, for sure.
David, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
This is from Aurea. David,
yes.
Can you please explain that again about the HBM and the evolution of relationships, please? Or what part was in the HBM to reference?
I can't remember it. There's something in what we've read in the last 2 years that it's like the response is transformation. It's like, you remember what I'm talking about?
Well, there's a passage, maybe Silverdale remembers exactly where this is, but this always struck me very strongly in reading Human Biological Machine, and it's come back to me. It's not something that I feel I understood, you know, from reading it years ago, and
yeah.
I'm not sure yet that I understand it. but I understand the way David's using it. It has to do with a reflex
that's it.
Of transformation. And the image that's used is holding you underwater, holding your head underwater so that you cannot breathe. You're choking and you're struggling. And it's if you have a reflex, which is the struggle for survival, to burst out of the water and fill your lungs with air. And what the way EJ uses that, not he uses it metaphorically. He's saying that this is what, that there is a process whereby the teacher, whereby he as the teacher or your guide or, let's say, some force in your spiritual life holds you down and holds you down and holds you down and holds you down. And the reason for that is that it's the required response and the only successful response of holding your head spiritually underwater, okay, symbolically
yeah.
holding underwater,
yeah.
is transformation. Is that you will? Mm-hmm. Is that the essential self has to break out of that?
It bursts forward, and so that
to breathe.
So Arya, that's what I mean. Is that
sorry? If I may say, wasn't it the re-stimulations of the defense mechanism? That was the chapter, I think.
Maybe it is, but let me just conclude this since we're running out of time. And for Arya,
yeah.
is just. If you hold yourself in this posture of arrogance, you are actively withholding relationship in an essential self with your fellow workers. And you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. And the only response is a desire to become part of them again. But the desire is purified. Because you have broken these bonds of attachment. That's why you have to go through it and actually do it.
Yeah, we're running out of time. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna post something about this, not on the next week's exercise, but on this week's exercise, because there is something I would like to say, which we're actually out of time for, on the side of the literal understanding of the sacrifices. In other words, in relationship to, I think there is at least a dimension of this where EJ is addressing a monastic,
yes.
Encapsulated community situation.
We may take,
and I would like to
maybe we need
speak
to
for that possibility, because I think it's very possible. I think this may be, in fact, a risky or dangerous exercise to do outside of certain conditions.
Do not do this in life, so to speak.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to spend some time next week or even the whole class next week with a more pragmatic approach to how to do this, okay? To
good
how
idea.
To do things in these exercises. Because we can go through all the first 7 exercises and get super pragmatic on it.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
That'll be our next week's class, okay? So we're almost out of time. I love the participation tonight. It was very, very helpful for
yeah,
me. So thank you so much for coming. I look forward to seeing you and post on the website, thewingsofchaos.com. See you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, David.
Thank you very much, David and Ivan. Thank you very much. It was great.
David remains the boss of the telephone.
Yes.